Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have your Bible, you can grab one off the hymnal shelf in front of you, or you can pull out your phone or tablet and open up your Bible app. Now, we have a rule here if you're new. When you get to Matthew 7, you have to energetically, and when I say energetically, here's what I want you to picture. I want you to picture standing in the throne room of God, and you are overcome with joy that you get to be in his presence. And you are going to shout out, amen, when you get to, yes, yes. We're getting there. Chapter 7. When you get to Matthew chapter 7, let me hear you say, amen.
Amen.
It's going to be mighty fine when we get there, right? It's going to sound good. So Matthew chapter 7. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. Why do you see the splinter that's in your brother or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, let me take that splinter out of your eye, when there's a log in your eye? You deceive yourself. First, take the log out of your eye. Then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother or sister's eye. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. So if you have not been with us this summer, we have been in the summer of peace here at Foley United Methodist Church. We have been talking about living in peace. And when we say peace, we mean shalom, God's peace, which is the completion of all things coming together in God's plan, a completeness, a wholeness, a fuller, bigger peace than what we might imagine when we hear the word. And we've been talking through a different phases of peace. We started talking about peace with God, how we need to understand that God is not a literary figure, but God is a living God who is with us every day. We don't get the option of telling God what he will and won't do. We don't get the option of defining how God will work in our lives, because we serve God. We have to learn how to give up control. We have to learn to let go. We have to learn to trust in God. Let it go and let God. We talked about some practices each and every week, a lot of solitude and a lot of recognizing where we fight God. And then we moved to peace with self. This was the fun part, remember? This was the part where we asked you to look down deep inside and recognize the brokenness, recognize where that fear and that hate and that anger and that worry and that anxiety gets stirred up in us, and begin to see how we react to the world around us and begin to work on those things. It was fun, wasn't it? We asked you to even talk to other people and say, I am broken here, and I know all of you enjoyed that. But in order to truly find peace with self, God's peace, we have to understand that we're broken and that there's places in our life that we have to let God in to start working on those foundations, right? Well, this week, we are starting peace with others. It's going to be just as fun. Because in order to find peace with others, we're going to have to work with others, right? That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to talk about. I love this scripture. I love this scripture where it says, why worry about the speck in your brother or sister's eye when you have a log in your own? One of the reasons I love this scripture is because I heard it nonstop growing up. My brother, younger brother, I'm the oldest. He's 17 months younger than me. My name is John. His name is James. Does anybody know what John and James in the Bible were called? Sons of Thunder. We were called that all the time. You know why? Because we literally, I'm not making this up, would fight under the pews while the church service was going on. It's what we did. But my mom would quote this scripture to us all the time, because when we would get in trouble, and you want to know what the crux of the matter was, is I'm the oldest brother, right? So my younger brother should have to do everything I say, and when he refused, it just didn't, we clashed, right? And when mama would get on to us, we would say, well, he did, or he said, or he touched me, or he did what, you know, normal stuff. But we would always blame the other one. And my mom would say, why worry about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a log in your own? For a long time, it was just her quoting scripture, because that's what she normally did. My mama quoted scripture over everything. When we would go to school every single morning, she would walk us out the front door, put her hand on her head and say, now put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the feet shined with the gospel, or the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith. Every morning, it was just quoting scripture. So that's what I thought until I started growing up. You know that whole thing where you have to like take accountability, you have to like be your own person. It's not fun anymore, right? Because then you have to start really owning your own actions. And this scripture takes on a whole different meaning. Because if you really think about it, in the world today, this scripture is really applicable. Because every time somebody makes us upset, what do we have a tendency to do? What do we want to do? We want to shift the blame off of us and put it on somebody else, right? We want to say, well, they did, they said, they implied, well, they told me they would be here and they didn't. And we start focusing on that speck that we see in their lives. Maybe, just maybe, if we want to truly find peace with others, maybe it's time to kind of step out of ourselves and realize that speck we see in others might just be an optical illusion, and what appears to be a speck may be larger than it appears, because it's really that log sticking out of our hearts that we're struggling dealing with, right? So, how do we truly dive into peace with others? The first part is we have to be people of integrity. Now, what does integrity mean? Truthful? Honest? Chime in here. This is audience participation. Loving? Dependable? Doing the right thing when no one is looking. That's right. People of integrity. But what about when we say we're Christians and we're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and we're going to love the unlovable? Because that's the right answer. That's what we learned in Sunday school. We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves until they make us mad, and then we're not going to. Or if they don't fit the profile of what we think a normal person should be like, then they're not really our neighbor, they're the other neighbor's neighbor, right? No, if we're going to be a people of integrity, all of those things that we said apply, but when you talk about what it means to be an integrity, person of integrity as a Christian, then it means we have to be true to our word. We have to be true to what we believe. We have to truly learn to love our neighbor, love the unlovable, hug the untouchable. It gets a little scary. But that's okay, because we're going to start with baby steps, right? Start with baby steps here. If we have been talking about what's wrong with ourselves, and we remember last week about what does it look like to build others up, then what we need to do is start paying attention to our relationships with other people. We need to start focusing on the fact that we cannot control other people, because the only people we can truly control are ourselves. So when somebody says something that hurts my feelings, when they say something that gets me mad or makes my anxiety go through the roof, maybe it's on me to try to understand what they're truly saying. Because as I've learned in this faith walking journey I'm going on, it's funny how that works, right? We can't control what other people hear. We can only control what we say. And what's in our mind and the intentions we have may not be heard by the other person. And likewise, we may not know their intentions by what they said. We have a tendency to make up our own mind and say, well, that's what they meant. And they may do that to us. What would it look like for us to make sure we understand what they're saying? That when something gets stirred up in us, something gets our anxiety on edge, we say, wait a second, maybe I heard that wrong. And we ask, what did you mean by that? Because that's really the first part of finding peace with others, is recognizing that what I say is what I can control, but I cannot control what they hear, and vice versa. So we need to be able to communicate better. The second part, this is the hard part, is we have to clean up our own messes. How many of us, think of your spouse, think of your kids, think of your siblings, think of your best friends, get upset when they don't do something exactly the way you wanted it done? Get upset when they say something that you feel like was a direct order or said with a mean spirit. And in response, we let those anxieties, those normal responses to anxiety, dictate how we respond. So we talked about a few weeks ago, we either go into conflict or we run away, or we over or under function. And that's how we responded to one of our loved ones, because we felt hurt or we felt upset. That's a mess that we have to clean up. If we truly want to find peace with others, we have to be willing to go to them and say, I was wrong. We cannot put the blame on them any longer. We have to take responsibility for us. We have to be willing to accept that they are who they are, they be how they be, and we are who we are, or we be how we be. We can't force our beliefs, our expectations on others, and when we do, we have to meet at that place and say, I'm sorry. When you said that, I got hurt. When you said that, I got scared. When you didn't show up when you said you would show up, I felt abandoned. When you promised that you would take care of this and you didn't, I felt forgotten. And I apologize. I said that wrong. When you say you'll take care of something, when you say you'll be there and you don't, you have to apologize and say, that's on me. And then you have to ask, I would love to know how you feel. And then be quiet and let them tell you. Because the other part of this is we can't tell other people how they're supposed to feel. We can't tell other people how they're supposed to react to something that we've done. If we're going to be a person of integrity who's true and honest and dependable and does the right thing when nobody else is around, who loves the unlovable, who lives this faithful life, then we have to be that person when we make a mistake too. We have to be the person who is willing to go and say, I'm sorry. And we have to be the person that lets the other person, the offended person, feel what they need to feel. And then we have to be able to re-give our word and hold true to it. Whatever the case may be, I give you my word that I will not react when you say something if I'm not sure I understand it. I give you my word that if something you did hurt me, I will make sure that I understand why it was done before I get upset. We have to be willing to be people like Jesus, who didn't go into a situation full of anxiety, but went into a situation full of love, understanding that people were people and willing to meet them where they're at. If you think about the woman at the well, did he go and meet her and accuse her of being a woman that slept around? Or did he just go and love her, and when that created a space for her to be honest with him, he said, I knew that, but I still offer you the water of life, the living water. It was so real that it transformed her life, right? She ran into town telling everyone that she just met the Messiah. Better yet, it'll transform our lives when we begin to not see that speck, not look for that speck on everybody else, but when we enter into a relationship saying, where are my logs? And let me deal with those. I'm not going to put any blame on them. I'm going to take full responsibility for who I am. That's when we see transformation happen. That's when we start to see true peace. That's when we start to see healing. Are there people in your lives that you can think of right now where relationships have been broken? Or just the thought of being around them creates anxiety? And this whole time, it's easy to say, well, they did, they said, they are. But what kind of healing could happen if we said, let me deal with me and not worry about them? How might that transform your life, their life, and y'all's life together. So that's your homework. It's going to be fun. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be scary. And it's going to take courage. But your homework is to begin living a life of integrity. A life where you are who you are and you allow others to be who they are. The first part of this is to sit down and think of some broken place that happened in the past week. As much as we like to think that we're perfect, something happened in the last week where your anxiety was triggered, fear, hate, worry, doubt, sadness, and you didn't respond the way you wanted to. Just think about it. Name what happened. Name who was involved. Name how you reacted that you don't feel was the right way. Name your log, not their speck. And then pray about it. And then after you pray about it, I want you to go clean up that mess. I want you to take that event that you just wrote down, and I want you to go to that person and say, I am sorry, because when this happened, I reacted this way, and that's not who I want to be. I would love to know how that made you feel. And then let them feel how they feel. Don't try to define that for them. And then re-give your word. Next time, I will not blank. Next time, I will try to make sure you understand me. Make sure I understand you. Next time, I will keep my word. Next time, I will take care of what I said I'll take care of. And then let that mess be clean and move forward. When we start cleaning up our messes, when we start living in integrity, when we start following in the footsteps of Jesus, we start to see transformation. When we start to see that God's peace living among us, and we start living in it, we start to see transformation in our own hearts. And other people see how we're transformed by what Jesus has taught us. It's reminded me of Zacchaeus. We know who Zacchaeus was? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Was he? And who was he? He was a tax collector, a thief. What did he do? Jesus came through town, and what did Zacchaeus do? Climbed up a sycamore tree. And when Jesus got to him, here's the moment where this broken person, thief, tax collector, cheat, comes face to face with Jesus. How does Jesus approach him? Zacchaeus, come down. Because I'm going to go to your house and we're going to spend some time together. He didn't blame Zacchaeus. He didn't see the speck on Zacchaeus. He just loved him. And what happens? Zacchaeus says, I'll return every penny I've ever taken. And anybody I cheated, I'll give back double. Zacchaeus said, I've got to clean up my mess. That's what we got to do. Clean up our mess. It starts one mess at a time. And it starts with us being able to recognize that the blame is not on them. The speck is not in their eye. It's just the log sticking out of our own. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it is so easy to see fault and to see everybody else's specks. But that's just because the log's in our way. Lord, just give us the courage to look in the mirror. Give us the understanding to recognize that all we can do is work on ourselves. That it's not our job to fix everybody else. It's just our job to fix us. Lord, help us to love you more. Help us to love others more. Bring to mind those broken places that have happened to us in the last week. Help us be aware of where we were not the people you made us to be, where we did not respond the way we should have or the way we wanted to. And then, Lord, let us go to that person in love and clean up our mess. Lord, we trust that in doing this, we will find that peace you promise. In Jesus' name.